Hi, good morning. My name is Mike, and I'm part of Happy East Valley House Church. Why don't I open us in a word of prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I confess my dislike of being put in impossible situations, where my faith is tested, where my confidence and limitations are revealed. I like to appear to have things together. Help me to trust you, knowing that only you can save and deliver me. I trust you. Help me to trust you even more. In your trustworthy and wise name I pray. Amen. Today's reading will be from Mark chapter 6. So if you'll turn with me, we'll start at verse 30. Mark 6, 30 to 44. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men." So this is a story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. I'm sure it's something that many of us are quite familiar with and have heard or read many times. But did you know that, you know, of all of Jesus' miracles, only 2 are recorded in all 4 Gospels? So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's only 2 of Jesus' miracles that are recounted. And one of them is this one. The other being Jesus' resurrection. So clearly this is a pretty significant event. And indeed, you know, as I was reading and I was reflecting on the text here, there is so much to unpack. You know, I think you could even go probably line by line, verse by verse, and find, you know, a gem or wisdom in each one. But for today, I want to focus on the dialogue or the exchange, if you will, between Jesus and his disciples. So let me go back to the text. If you look at verses 35 and 36, it says, "And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.'" Now, right off the bat, something seems off here. Like the disciples are kind of showing, you know, trying to be righteous and showing an air of concern by saying, "Hey, Jesus, you should send the people away to get something to eat." But at the same time, it's the way that they say it. It's almost like they're directing Jesus. And so to me, that sounds a bit weird, because I don't know about you, but I don't think I would go to a teacher or a leader, let alone the Lord, and try to direct him in what to do, right? And clearly Jesus sees right through that, because he responds, "You give them something to eat." And how do the disciples respond to that? They say, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" I don't know about you, but to me this sounds like a pretty sarcastic response. So imagine this. Imagine you have a friend that comes to you, right? And he says, Hey man, let's quit our jobs today. Let's just travel around the world for a year. Look, think about how much fun that would be." You know, if it was me, I might say, Yeah, okay, sure. Let me just drop my family, my responsibilities, my bills, and just travel with you to entertain you for a year. You see, that's a sarcastic response, right? And that's kind of how I hear the disciples responding to Jesus. But why? Why do they respond in this way? Well, clearly, they don't have the means, right, to meet Jesus' demand. He's telling them to give 5,000. Well, the 5,000 actually is apparently just the number of men that were there. So, you know, scholars say they probably had wives and children with them. So the estimates can be 15, 20,000 people. So the disciples clearly don't have food, right? They don't have enough food to feed the crowds. And they say that it would cost 200 denarii to even just give them morsels to eat. Other translations say that this is over a half year's wages. Well, maybe they have 200 denarii on them, but it's not like they're nobles, right? They're not like rich businessmen. They don't have excess amounts of money. They're not swimming in cash. So to spend 200 denarii on one moment, you know, would be excessive to them. So what are they saying here? Hey, Jesus, we don't have enough, right? We're not able to feed the people. This is a ridiculous, almost impossible ask. And that's why I think they're responding in this way. Now, interestingly, I came across a very similar situation back in the Old Testament. If you remember back in Exodus, Exodus chapter 3, basically God comes to Moses in a burning bush. Remember this? God comes to Moses and tells him to go back to Egypt to lead the Israelites out of slavery and out of Egypt. How does Moses respond to this ask? Let me read for you. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Now, I don't see that being such a sarcastic response like the disciples. But Moses says, "Who am I?" Basically, he's saying, "I'm nobody, right? I'm not anyone. No one's going to listen to me and follow me." And what does God say to this? He says, "I will be with you. This will be the sign that I am the one who sent you." And if you read further from there, basically Moses keeps making excuses. You know, he says, "Okay, who should I tell them you are?" And then he goes and says, "Well, how will I know that they'll listen to me?" And eventually he says, "Oh, but God, I can't speak very well." Essentially, Moses is talking about what he doesn't have. He doesn't have prestige. He doesn't have a reputation as a leader. Maybe he has a reputation as a murderer, but not a leader, not someone that the masses will follow. He doesn't have any confidence that he can go up to Pharaoh and say, you know, what God has commanded him to say. Basically, Moses is saying, "God, that's a great idea, but I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy." And you know what God says? God says, "I am." Now, he's referring to his name, but it's interesting, isn't it? He says, "I am." So if you connect the two, the disciples, just like Moses, they're more focused on themselves and what they couldn't do. They're more focused on what they didn't have. And instead, they were focusing on their constraints and lack rather than who they were with and who had commanded them, who was the one speaking to them. I think this is a great point of reflection for us here. And I wonder, do we do the same thing? You know, when God speaks to us, when God asks something of us, you know, do we immediately focus on, "Oh, but I can't," or "I don't have this," or "I'm not good enough at this"? Do we think about our lack or our limitations? You know, I got to confess, I do that all the time. About 7 months ago, after much much prayer, much waiting, and obviously, you know, discussing with my wife, I quit my job in finance, specifically in investing and asset management, because I wanted to do something completely different. I actually, you know, got an opportunity to help build a cybersecurity business. Now, mind you, God didn't show up to me in a burning bush and say, "Mike, go start a cybersecurity business." No, that's not what happened. But God had said many other things to me. For years, he had been dropping certain words. For example, in Joshua 1, he says, "Be bold and courageous." I think he said that to me probably over the course of 6 years, but I had no idea what he was talking about. In what? God also stirred in me over the years a heart for leadership and actually building culture, specifically building company or corporate culture, and how I might do that in a way that is pleasing and honoring to God. And so when this opportunity came about, I felt, you know, it was a great chance to fulfill kind of these stirrings that God had put in me. But to be truthful, the first things that popped into my head were, wait, but I don't know anything about cybersecurity. I have no background in, you know, computer or software engineering. I have no idea how to build a business. Really? Is this wise? And so immediately I thought about my lack, what I couldn't do. And, you know, that probably rings a bell, because that's exactly what Moses did. That's exactly what the disciples were doing. And it also doesn't help that over the last 7 months, progress has been very slow. You know, things haven't really, there hasn't been much traction. But every time I pray, God would keep saying, "Wait, be patient." And that was so clear to me. You know, all throughout the fast, even afterwards, I would hear those words, "Wait." You know, there's even a few times where God would say, "Watch, just watch what I'm about to do." And that's pretty exciting to hear, but, you know, nothing's happening. Well, anyway, I would hear those in prayer, and I'd be like, "Okay, I'm encouraged. Thank you. Let's go. Let's wait. Let's, you know, I'll. My faith is in you, God." But then, of course, I would listen to these podcasts. You know, I'd be reading books about entrepreneurship, building business, listen to interviews with famous entrepreneurs and founders, and every time I can't help but think, I'm nothing like these guys. Like, they have a tenacity, they have technical skills and expertise. They failed like 20 times, and then, you know, they succeeded at once. I'm 40 years old, man. I can't fail 20 times. So immediately I would have these thoughts, and again it was like, oh, these limits. Am I kidding myself? Right? Am I like? Is this a pipe dream? Am I having a midlife crisis? Is that why I'm doing this? I don't know, maybe. But, you know, what it came down to ultimately was, again, I was focused on my limitations, what I wasn't, what I didn't have. And I want to ask you guys, do you do the same? You know, maybe God has asked something of you. Maybe God has asked you to do something. And you can't help but think about what you don't have, who you're not, your limitations, your lack. But let's go back to Exodus. Let's go back to Jesus feeding the 5,000 or 20,000. What did God say to Moses? When Moses said, "I'm not that guy," a lot of times I say the same. I'm not that guy. I'm not Elon Musk. I'm not that guy. You know what God says? I'm not asking to be that guy. God says, "I am." That's what God, I feel like, is saying to me through this reflection. And I strongly believe he's saying the same thing to you. Not me, Mike, but Yahweh, the great I Am. And so as I invite the worship leader up, let's just come before the Lord. Let's be honest with him. Let's be honest with ourselves. You know, what is God asking of you today? Or maybe God put something on your heart and you've been hesitating because of what you don't have or what you feel like are limitations. I think the key here is we need to shift our focus from ourselves to the great I Am, because it's about him. So, Father God, just thank you, God, for this day. And I just pray for all of us here this morning. What are you saying to us today? What are you asking of us? I pray, Father God, that we would not be overwhelmed by what we don't have, by our lack, but our eyes and our gaze would be fixed on you, the great I Am. God, if you say it, there's already power in your words, Lord. And so we just want to look at you. We want to focus on you today. And we want to walk with you, God. We want to sit and wait and look upon with anticipation, God, what you will do. Like when you fed the thousands, God, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Lord, we thank you, God, that you have called us. We thank you that you direct us. Give us power, give us ability, once again, to shift our focus from our lack to your greatness. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.